Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Authors Airwaves, where books come alive. Each week, we feature news and interviews from leading authors in self-help, personal growth, and disabilities. I'm Victor Volkman with Loving Healing Press in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's January 12th, 2009, and welcome to episode number 17 in our series, which is also our very first show for 2009. Tonight's topic is Divorce Tips for Women, and our special guest who will be joining us this hour is Diane Teagarden. You can learn more about our guest on the Authors Airwaves website, which is authorsairwaves.com. Please send us your questions and comments to info@authorsairwaves.com. Now tonight we're on the line with Diane Teagarden, who is the author of three published books and currently lives in Pasadena with her husband, three cats, and a dog. She's been a print journalist since 1992, writing on a wide range of subjects including renewable energy, environmental concerns, holistic health, women's issues, and Native spirituality. Her work has been published in the Pasadena Star News, Security Sales Magazine, the Pasadena Weekly, and many other weekly and monthly publications. Now, in April 2004, she self-published her first book, Getting Out of Limbo, a self-help divorce book for women, which provides step-by-step instructions on how to achieve financial and emotional independence in preparation for a divorce. During Women's History Month in March last year, she was interviewed on several radio talk shows about divorce and domestic violence, referencing her experiences from this very same book. Now, her company, Firewalker Publications Incorporated, was formed in 2004 to promote her passionate, original written works, materials, ideas, and creations. Since 2005, she's written exclusively for two online content producers, Associated Content and Constant Content. She's also released her first e-poetry book in 2007, entitled Light Through a Shuttered Window, which is a compendium of poems about life, love, and the process of creativity. She is also the author of a science fiction novel entitled Anti-Vigilante and the Rips in Time, about renewable energy and the changing face of the planet. You can learn all about her publications at www.firewalkerpublications.com. Well, good evening, Diane. It seems like you're a writer on several different fronts.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I basically had to develop my own publishing company, because otherwise I'd be trying to get three agents and go in three different directions, and I'm not sure all that would work with all the variety that I'm interested in writing about. So I said, well, let me just go ahead and go it alone and see how I do.
That's a great choice, or end up with three pseudonyms, which I think is even worse. Let's talk about your book, Getting Out of Limbo, a self-help divorce book for women. What motivated you to write this book on this particular subject?
Well, I have been divorced twice before, and so having experience at that, and having seen and talked to many, many divorced women, and finding when I did a little bit of research, because of course I came at it from a journalistic standpoint of why so many women end up doing poorly after divorce economically, when the mythology there, and there are a lot of myths about divorce that we can bust together during our interview, but I found that people thought that, men become impoverished and women just go out there and make a bunch of money getting divorced. And I'm thinking,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then why are women the ones that are basically make up about three-fourths of the poverty line? In other words, people that are considered impoverished are basically a single adult with children, and you generally the gender is female. And so what I went and what I did in my research, and of course just talking to women, is finding out that emotionally we take a very long time to figure it out, and we are always hoping that it will work out in the meantime, so we don't really prepare as if it's going to happen. Then we just get to the end of our rope and jump off the cliff, and off we go with our kids, and it ends up being one person with sometimes rather rusty skills, a skill set to take out and earn the kind of living that it would take to make sure that you're on the same kind of comfort level or a lifestyle to which you're accustomed to. And so I thought one thing that would help women incredibly is if they could figure out how to have their financial ducks in a row while they're making up their mind. So the book, first chapter is financial independence. So I basically am giving tools for women to figure out, how do I plan to do this so that I don't end up impoverished? And also, so I don't stay just because I don't think I can make it financially. And that's the number one the number one reason why women stay in a bad marriage, is because they fear that they are going to become impoverished and that they're going to have their children at a disadvantage.
Yeah, I certainly believe that. That makes a lot of sense. That's interesting. Let's hear about a couple other more of the myths of divorce in women.
Well, one of the reasons why they say that you shouldn't get divorced, and why women may cling in and stay in a divorce, is because they threaten that you'll die alone with 16 cats. You know, the old maid syndrome.
Yeah.
And by the way, I love cats, and I still managed to snag me a husband, so it's not beyond possibilities, ladies, to have both cats and a man. Hey. But you know, really, there's social pressure. In fact, I wrote a paper on a segment on 60 Minutes, which, as you know, is a very prestigious news show. It's not just a fly-by-night type news show. In February of last year, that these chosen experts that were talking about divorced women said that women are no longer pressured to stay in a marriage through either societal pressure or the legal system or economic inequality. And I was like, don't agree with that, or that. Wrong. Because actually societal pressure is very strong for women. It's something that's not said. It's a subtle threat. In other words, well, if you don't want to be with me, no one else is going to want you, and then you'll be out there alone. And women are petrified, terrified of the idea of being alone, even though the statistics say that 50% of first marriages end in divorce. Of course, no one ever talks about the remarriage percentage, and there's not a whole lot of statistics or a study that's been done on that, because if you talk to people that are, say, between 35 and 55, they've not just been married once or twice. It's more like three or four times. So it's kind of a misnomer or a myth to say, oh, you shouldn't get divorced because, you know, 50% of marriages end in divorce and then you'll just be divorced. It's like, no, you'll get married again and you might get divorced again, and then you might make it on the third or fourth try, you know. So that's something that a fear tactic that's used by people that sometimes it's religious. There are trains of thought in certain religions that say it's no longer considered sin, but it's definitely considered immoral. It's looked down upon. And the rest of your family may be of the idea or the concept that you made your bed, you lie in it, that cliche. In other words, you're never allowed to say, hey, I made a big mistake. Let me just say I can go on with my life and make better choices in the future. So the other idea that just really lights my fire under me is that the idea that a woman is an incomplete human being. Because you're always out there, you're trained, you're inculcated from a child. Little dolls are shoved in your hand, you know. You must be a mommy. Well, in order to be a moral mommy, you're going to need a daddy in there somewhere. So you must get this man. And then they talk to you about the one, which puts this unconscionable pressure on men to be this perfect being, which constantly changes from month to month as to what that might be. So it's sort of an impossibility, this whole concept of marriage and finding the one and putting all the pressure on one person to be your one and all and only and expecting it to work. Hey, the odds are definitely against that, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, not too many fairy tale endings out there. Probably not.
That's the thing, because the expectation is that the man is going to be all the friend, your lover, your entertainer, your support, not necessarily financially, because women know they have to work, and, you know, nowadays most families need to two workers to support, just, you know, to make it. But the idea that this person is your one and only, while the man on his end is basically, you know, told, hey, you should go out and, like, you know, just be with a bunch of different people, you know. They're not told there's only going to be the one. Oh, she will be the shining perfection of your world. I mean, I've never met a man who was looking for the one, so they haven't been given the memo.
That's a very good point. The old double standard is after us once again. Let's talk about what types of divorce situations does getting out of limbo cover. In other words, who is the ideal person to read this book?
Well, the reason that I wrote it this way, I wrote it in modules so that you can actually use the very first couple pages, say how to use this book. And there, I broke divorce down into four types, generally listed by difficulty. And the reason is because if, let's say, you haven't signed a bunch of contracts, you haven't had children yet, you don't work at the same place, and it's not going to be an angry divorce, like there's not the abusive battering type. We'll get to that later on. But this is one of the easiest types of divorce. So you probably don't need an attorney. You can go through my book and just check out chapters 1, 3, and 7 out of 9 chapters. And that's all you'll need, because there are divorces that are simpler than other divorces. Then it gets a little bit harder. Let's say you each own your own car, okay, so you're not signed to any big contracts. Again, that binding of contracts. You don't work together, but you do have kids, okay? So that there's a little bit more of a wrinkle in there, a little bit more of emotional wrinkle, but there's no major arguments on child custody. Again, this is a fairly amicable divorce. So this, you're going to go ahead and use 1, 3, 6, 7, and 9. So you use almost all the chapters, but not all of them. And again, at this level, you can avoid an attorney, because if you're not fighting over the kids, really, all attorneys, the only reason why they need to come into a divorce process is if you're fighting over something, whether it's an object, one of the pets, the family pets, if you're fighting over child custody, you know, who gets who when and how often, and I don't want them to see your mother and this, that, and the other. If you're fighting, lawyers are going to have to come in to basically, you know, settle the differences. Because if you can't settle your own differences, then the price starts to go up, you know, exponentially as each of these wrinkles occur. Now, the third type of divorce is you work together. That is going to be a little bit of a wrinkle, because then it will depend on who has seniority, who's liable to have more power there, who's liable to, because you may think that you can have an amicable divorce, but to actually face that person every single day at work, it really is overwhelmingly difficult. There's too many memories, it's too much opportunity to mess up your career. So one of you will need to decide who needs to go find another job. And again, I'm not, you know, assigning it by gender. I'm saying, okay, who makes more money there? Who's been there longer? Who has more power within the company? All these things should be considered when you decide, you know, it's really not advisable to work at the same company when you're getting a divorce. There might be questions about what you owned as individuals versus community property. So, and if you're in a community property state, which is most of the states, and, you know, that changes, so you can, you know, look that up. But, and I have all those details in the book. That will decide. Now, if one or both of you are angry, if there was infidelity or if there was some sort of abuse, there's going to need to be a third party to help you, you know, iron some of these things out. And the very hardest one, the one that is really serious and which most books don't, because I did check out books. They say when you're going to go write a book, I mean, why write, you know, the thousandth book of the same type? So you want to do some research. And I found three main types of books. One was by a lawyer that's talking so far over the common person's head that they're not going to be able to understand it or use it. It's not going to be valuable to them. It might be telling them something, but they don't know what it is. The second one is one of how to fix yourself up, girl, so you can get your man back. And I'm like, throw that right out the door. Because, you know, that's not what I was looking for. I was actually looking for somebody. And the other one is what to do after the divorce. Well, by that time, you know, if you got a raw deal on the economics, if you got a bad deal in court, it's too late. You're already dealing with it, and there's not a whole lot on that. And I'm more of a proactive type person, so I thought this is a handbook for someone who's thinking about it, who's got it in their heart, but doesn't know where to start and doesn't know what to do. So this is a step-by-step workbook. It's made on the type of paper where you can actually write on it. It's not the glossy paper that's got photographs in it. There's no photographs in it. There are charts. There are forms. There are lists. I get down into the financial economics of the very first chapter so that the women will, and it is, you know, pertaining to women because that's my experience. And there have been many men who actually read the book and say, hey, why don't you get one of these for men? And I'm like, well, I don't exactly know what it's like to be a man getting divorced now, do I? It would be a bit presumptuous of me to say I understand, you know. So I thought, well, they say, you know, write what you know, and this is what I know.
And we'd like to interrupt our broadcast for just a moment to announce our first collaborative book, Authors Access, 30 Success Secrets for Authors and Publishers, edited by Irene Watson, Tyler Tischler, and me, Victor Volkman. This book contains the distilled wisdom of more than 24 guests to our show in an easy-to-read, easy-to-understand reference, organized into chapters that reflect the life cycle of your books. Authors Access, 30 Success Secrets for Authors and Publishers, lets you learn about the best practices and avoid pitfalls in writing, editing, cover design, marketing, book reviews, online presence, genre and children's books, and many other key topics. As a special thank you to we'll include a free Best of Authors Access CD-ROM, jam-packed with MP3 files from all our shows. And for more information about the book, just go to our homepage, www.authorsaccess.com, and click on Success Secrets in the upper left corner. And now we return you back to our show.
The very hardest, though, and this is the exceptional thing about this book, if I may say, is it explains how to escape a battering husband. Now, we're talking about physical abuse. We're talking about whether it's sexual or physical battering. So, you know, the very hardest, let's throw the whole book at you. You're both signed on to a house and a car, so you've got contracts that you're into. You own a business together, so all your income is mixed together. You have serious custody issues because, of course, he wants to hurt you as much as possible, which is to take your children. And one of the spouses, a batterer, physically violent and possessive. And I actually escaped a battering spouse, and that's why I know, and that's why I wrote. That is chapter 5, I believe, is the chapter on escaping a battering spouse. It takes you step by step what to do, and that's a whole different subject. You know, that's very serious, and I domestic violence is still a very serious problem in this country. Most women that are murdered by a violent significant other, whether they're living with them or they're married to them or they're divorced from them. So it's a very serious issue, and I deal with it on a step-by-step basis so that the women know what to do because I did it and how to do it to make it permanent so that you're away and you're alive. That's the main...
Great, yeah. I mean, the common sense is that, well, you know, you should just leave, but that can actually put you in a more dangerous situation. Trying to flee if you don't have all your ducks
in
a row.
That's exactly right. The thing is I always encourage women to leave, but you do have to make sure you don't ever need to go back, because if you do, it will probably be the last trip. That kind of a thing is not forgiven. So if you are going to leave, and I do recommend women to leave their battering abusive spouses, you need to figure, you know, get a book. Get this book, Getting Out of Limbo, a self-help divorce book for women, or call the 800 abuse line in your state. or get on the internet and look up, you know, domestic violence battered women's shelters is what they call them, where the women can actually go there. They give you about 30 to 45 days to get yourself together, and then you have to leave the program. So literally in 45 days, you have to turn your whole life around, and it's much easier to do it while you know where you're at and you have all your resources. So it's easier to plan and then just leave and never go back.
Right. So what is the number one thing that women should plan for when they're considering a divorce?
Well, I do think that while you're emotionally hashing out, you know, whether you can leave or whether you can end that emotional relationship, that you do have to become very aware of your finances. Usually in couples, only one person is handling the finances. It's actually easier that way. But if it doesn't happen to be the woman and she doesn't know anything about bank recs and checkbooks and balancing your budget and income and net income, that's what the first chapter of the book is for. It's a standalone chapter that I have taught in adult schools, adult education, to both men and women, because it's one of the biggest problems in marriages is the money. You know, someone's making less, or someone's spending more, or neither. Yeah. I mean, if you go through years and years and years of school, there are still no required courses on how to balance your own budget or even keep a checkbook. So if you've learned or picked up any tips, it's because you did it on your own, but most people don't have a clue how to handle their finances.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about after the divorce. Do you have any advice for women on their next relationship after the divorce?
I do, because I do have, I wanted to mention, as you mentioned at the top of the program, I am married. This is my third time's a charm, or three strikes, you're out. I figure either way, I'm not getting married again. No, I'm kidding. I'm an eternal optimist. There is hope. I think that taking the advice of the many psychologists and therapy sessions I had while I was in the battered women's shelter when I left, the second husband was an abusive husband, is wait at least 1 year before you get involved with anybody else, emotionally and physically, because women tend to mix that all together. So if you will keep yourself from getting emotionally attached to somebody else, because basically what you'll do is you'll transfer that same needs, those same things that drove you into that person's arms. And I'm not blaming the woman for getting together with the batter. I want to make that perfectly clear. They have an uncanny way of picking out people who have been victimized in their lives and who have a sort of lower self-esteem issues deep down inside that they think people can't tell, but these batterers have this radar and they can pick out women. So it is not your fault, but what will be your fault is if you don't fix yourself first. Get therapy. Especially women coming out of those situations can go to certain government programs that will have lower or on a sliding scale, a sliding fee of therapy, whether it's group therapy or one-on-one. You have to fix those things inside yourself that have caused you to feel those low self-esteem issues that cause you to have this, you know, this transmit this horrible signal, you know, and so that the next time you choose a mate, you're going to be choosing a healthier mate because you're going to be healthier. The other thing is that's really helpful is change your hunting patterns. If you want to get a better mate, instead of prowling where you usually prowl, because if you start to think about all the relationships that you've had, you usually have a pattern. Me, I'm a sucker for bass players. Every husband I've ever... Please just stay away. If you have a bass, just get out, because, you know, I've got a weakness. So it's like if you like to hang out in clubs or bars, and that's where you always find these guys, and they're bad. Or, you know, guys out there, if you always find, you know, women, you know, at the tennis club, or you always pick cheerleaders, or you always pick, you know, whatever it is, find your pattern and then deviate from it. You know, go to places you don't usually go. Pick up hobbies you haven't been interested in before. Find different crowds to run with so that you have a different choice of people. And then you have a better chance of getting somebody who's not like the people that have broken your heart and done you wrong.
Wow, that sounds really interesting. I've been reading that January is actually the biggest month of the year for divorces. I wonder if you've noticed that, and if you can think of any reasons why that might be the case.
Well, I mean, it just leaps out at me. I hadn't really seen any figures to that extent, but you know what makes really sense to me, and this is just so much like a woman. You don't want to get divorced during holidays. You don't want to have bad... You want your Christmases to be ruined for the rest of your life. It's sort of like when someone dies on Christmas, you know. That's the memory then. It tarnishes the memory of that. And there's this whole holiday season in which women are expected to do all the usual things they do, whether it's home, child raising, and working. And then you add on to that extra baking, extra cleaning, extra people over. You have to buy something for everybody you know, and you have to pretend to be happy completely all the time from about Halloween on. So it's just too much stress to get divorced. You have to wait until, because again, you don't want to tarnish the memories of Christmas for your children or for yourself. Then the next time, you know, you... Christmas comes around, oh yeah, this is when I got divorced. That's just not good. So I can see why, you know, you hold your breath until after the holidays and then, okay, that's it. And hey, starting a new year, what could be more symbolic?
Yeah, and I guess you've already got your tax deduction or something, maybe too. I don't know how that works. Okay, who should you not take advice from about your divorce? Maybe is your coworker who just got divorced a week ago a good person, or?
Well, I think that family is a mixed bag. A lot of times, as well-meaning as they are, they think, oh my gosh, it's terrible. Women are on the poverty line. Women are miserable. They're alone and they won't like it, and it's not normal. And then they'll tell your husband you're planning on getting a divorce. And boy, that can create some problems. So it's best not to discuss it with family. It's better to go to... Again, I think that therapists are very knowledgeable, they're very helpful. As far as, you know, if you have any legal questions about divorce, you could go to a lawyer, or again, go to your local library and look it up in a book, because they do keep books up that have just a lot of the most current information. Now, one thing that doesn't come in a book is, how much will I get? That is going to be, you know, whether it's child support, is based on a formula that every different court has in their computer, and it's not necessarily something that can easily be figured out just, you know, looking at it, because it depends on how much money you make, how much money he makes, how much, you know, if you have lost your job by the time of the divorce. Because when you start it, remember, it can take up to a year for the paperwork, sometimes two. In some states, even longer for the paperwork to go through. So I have heard that sometimes one of the partners will become underemployed in order to not get a high settlement out of it. So a guy with, you know, a medium-paying job. I don't think somebody with a super high career is going to give away his career just so that he can chip his wife out of a divorce. But you'd be shocked at how what people go through, what lengths they go through to try and keep money away from somebody else. Now, the thing that doesn't happen anymore and that's totally a myth is spousal support. The only time you hear about it is these high-profile divorces where they're, you know, billionaires and their wives. If you're talking about normal Joe and Jane, hey, if they both work, she's not getting any kind of spousal support. That is a thing of the past for the common person. You do get child support. And, you know,
right.
Particularly, I mean, if the woman is a highly skilled, highly paid woman, I mean, the courts are not going to award her money just because. You know, they really are looking at, well, who has the money, and that, since most of the time, you know, both persons and a couple work now. Spouse support is just a thing of the past, but there is child support. The thing is, it's so easy to get out of paying it. And again, that, I mean, all the man has to do is move out of state and not alert. If he, let's say he doesn't want to see his kids, he just moves out of state, and then where are they going to take the money from? They don't know where he's at. So she's, again, on her own with three kids, and whatever she can make split four ways. That's why women end up impoverished. What my book does is, first of all, encourage the woman to find out about controlling finances, how much things really cost, how much you're bringing in, what you're spending, how you can trim down some of those expenses. It's got a budget, a way to set up your budget so that you can live on what you earn. Then it goes on to the second part of that, which is increasing your skill level and going back to school in some form or fashion, whether it's online, trade school, academic school, whatever you can do for yourself in order to step up that level when you go back into the workforce, or when you post-divorce return to the workforce. You want to get a better job so that you can make up for that and don't have to worry about that check coming in, because if it doesn't, then what are you going to do?
Wow. Well, Diane, this has been really an information-packed half an hour, and it just flew by. But before we close, we want to make sure our listeners find out where they can get your book, Getting Out of Limbo, a self-help divorce book for women. And please mention all of your blogs and other sites.
I do so. Getting Out of Limbo is available at Amazon.com, Target.com, and at my website, www.firewalkerpublications.com. My e-books, one is The Light Through Shuttered Window, is available only on my website, and also my science fiction novel, which I'm very excited about because you can buy it a chapter at a time. It's something really new that I came up with, something unique, I think, and that way, if you like it, you can go on to the next chapter and not waste any money. The moment I don't have your attention anymore, it's over with. You don't have to read another word. I also have, I'm at WordPress.com, so rosefirewalker.wordpress.com is my blog.
Great. Thank you so much again for coming on our show. Okay. Okay, listeners, this has been another podcast edition of Authors Airwaves, where books come alive. We'll be back on the air January 22nd, 2009, when our topic will be Epigenetics, the New Science of Health, with Bruce Lipton. You can learn more about all our guests on the Authors Airwaves website, which is authorsairwaves.com. We would love to hear from you about tonight's show. Please send us your questions and comments to info@authorsairwaves.com. Authors Airwaves is a joint production of Modern History Press and Loving Healing Press. The Loving Healing Press, this is Victor Volkman in Ann Arbor, Michigan, wishing you all a good evening.